Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
You fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
All right, good to have you back with us on a Victory Motown Monday in the nation's capital and beyond. 2 minutes of change after the hour. Still a final hour to go. We'll catch up with De'Ami Brown, my postgame conversation, quick in the locker room with him coming up, as well as hopefully a little more time for your phone calls and all the normal staples. Monday Night Football tonight, Pittsburgh and the Giants. That's the next opponent, the Giants, and, well, actually the next two opponents, Giants first, then Pittsburgh at home 2 weeks from yesterday. Joining us right now is the former head coach of the Washington Redskins and as well longtime NFL offensive coordinator, our guy Jay Gruden, on air and on the road. Jay Gruden is driven by the Ted Britt Automotive Group. Ted Britt Ford in Chantilly and Fairfax, F-150 headquarters, Ted Britt Chantilly, Lincoln, and Ted Britt Chevrolet in Sterling, home of Ted Britt for Life. Lifetime vehicle coverage. See and shop them all at TedBritt.com. And with that, we say good afternoon to the aforementioned Jay Gruden. How are you, Jay?
I'm doing great, Chris. How you doing?
I'm doing awesome. You know, obviously, I was there in the press box, and, you know, we got to sort of act like professionals, so I didn't lose my you-know-what. Where were you yesterday, and what was your reaction? Were you able to enjoy that, celebrate that, or did you have to kind of stay a little bit somewhat professional and muted?
No, I was at a little local watering hole watching the game, and people went crazy. Yeah, it was fun. It was a hell of a throw, hell of a play.
Yeah.
A lot of question marks for the Bears, what they were doing, but unbelievable execution by the Commanders and Jaden Daniels. What a rocket. That was a hell of a throw.
Yeah, we'll get to the Bears side of this in a sec. Jay, to me, and live, I mentioned this. I think I mentioned it, but I know I mentioned it to Grant, who was sitting next to me, or maybe it was Hoffman. I can't remember. But, like, that throw to Terry McLaurin, the 13-yarder? Yeah, 13-yarder to midfield was so important. I didn't know if they were going to be able to get two plays off because, like, you have time to get two plays off with 6 seconds, but not if Jaden Daniels takes any amount of time and if Terry doesn't get out of bounds. I mean, everything kind of had to work perfectly in concert with each other just on the play before, never mind the actual Hail Mary.
Well, it was just a gift by the Bears. I mean, the two plays before the end of the first half, they played the fence coverage before the end of the half, before they ran a draw to Eckler. So they had that coverage in. That's usually what most people do with 10 to 6 seconds left to go in a game or the half. They protect the sideline so you can't run that play.
Right.
And then if they do run a Hail Mary, you just convert. Everybody runs deep with the guys and you bat it down. But to give them 13 yards and put them in Hail Mary range is a little befuddling to me. But, yeah, that was a hell of an execution. Great throw, great timing. Good job by Terry of hurrying up, getting out of bounds.
And then Jaden on the play, listen, he doesn't obviously get it all the way into the end zone, and we all know kind of what happened, and we'll dig a little bit deeper on the Bears side of it, as we mentioned in a sec, but for him to scramble to his right, maybe Andrew Wiley got away with a little bit of a hold, I'm not sure, maybe there was another hold on Trent Scott, but for him to go to his right, elude the pressure, kind of dance around, go all the way back to his left, and reset his feet, Jay, and so that he could torque his hips and his body and whatnot to get every ounce on that ball, and I guess he threw it like 60, I think it was 65 point something in the air. It's just, you know, I don't know what else you can say.
No, it's an amazing play, and it's just, it's why you just keep playing till the end of the whistle. You never know what happens.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just an unbelievable throw and great execution by those guys. The Bears were chasing a guy that was at the 10-yard line for some unknown reason and didn't have enough guys back in the back, and Washington made them pay. But that was a hell of a game. You know, I thought Washington pretty much dominated the game from start to finish, but somehow the Bears came back and made it interesting there at the end. And fortunately, I still think the better team won.
I agree, and I would say most of our audience agrees. The Commanders now 6-2, first time since 2008 that they have gotten off to a 6-2 start. We'll see where it winds up at the Giants this Sunday. From a practice standpoint, is that something you practice every Friday, or is that at the Saturday walkthrough, or is that just here and there? How does that work?
They do it training camp a little bit, and then definitely on every Saturday you go through situations, weird situations like that, the hook and lateral play at the end of a game. If you need it, the Hail Mary, you want a line and a sign. Make sure you know the receivers, where they're going, where they're meeting, who's the tip guys, and who's going to be the trailer and all that good stuff. So, yeah, you try to go through it, and defensively you got to go through it as well. It's something you can't really do live. You do a walkthrough, and sometimes we throw a ball up there but told nobody to, you know, nobody jump, so it's not really realistic because you want anybody to twist their ankle on a Saturday.
Right, right.
Yeah, you definitely got to go through it.
You know what the most amazing part to me, Jay? No flags. I mean, I thought for sure they'd find a way to throw an illegal man downfield flag because that seems to be like the only thing the NFL cares about at this point.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, you got to give credit to the offensive line for Washington. They were holding those guys out. They never stopped blocking. That was awesome.
Yeah, Well, you saw Allegretti, who just just lay the lumber to somebody.
Yeah, he did. That was pretty funny watching those guys try to watch. I have no idea what the Bears were doing. Sweat wasn't even in the game.
Right,
the best athlete wasn't even playing.
Right. Now, I don't know if that's I don't know, Jay, because he came out earlier in that quarter, and what I'm trying to remember is, did I see him back in at any point in between that? I'm going to have to chart and figure out. So I don't know if it was injury-related or if it was just he was out of gas, because I know obviously they had timeouts, so if you're out of gas, your best guy is out of gas, call a timeout, get everybody on the same page. So obviously you keep saying the Bears, and you're not the only one. You have a bigger problem with Sweat, with the way they played the McLaurin pass that we talked about, or with Tyreek Stevenson being an absolute hot dog and not paying attention, and then on top of that, jumping late into the pile and batting it up in the air instead of down.
Oh, they also had a spy on Jaden Daniels unknown reason.
That's the other thing.
He's just standing there with a pom-pom just watching. What's Jaden going to do, scramble for a 70-yard touchdown?
Right, exactly.
Absolutely no sense whatsoever. I'm looking at the play right now. I'm laughing. But it took some time. You know, those plays take a long time. Those guys got to run 60 yards down the field, and they got to get in between the hashes, and they're trying to get to the far hash over there and try to get in a meeting and just get it launched up there and make a play, and that's what happened. I mean, the execution by the offensive line, I think, was perfect, and obviously Jaden's ability to extend the play and then just get the perfect amount of height and distance on it, and then obviously the receivers to make a play.
If you were Tyreek Stevenson's head coach, would you have allowed him back on the charter?
Yeah, it's unfortunate. He just got a little emotional there, a little too cocky, forgot there was another play left to be played, and it's what happens. That's what you get what you deserve, you know, in football sometimes. You start taunting and being a hot dog, then you're going to get it shoved up your rear end sometimes, and that's what happened to the poor kid. I'm sure he'll learn from it, and he's a big player for their future, I think, so don't forgive him, I hope.
No doubt. He's a good player. And they were without their starting nickel and one of their starting safeties in Brisker. You know, maybe that has an impact. Who knows? You know, maybe things would have been a little bit different. I guess last thing on the actual play itself, would you – I can't remember how you used to defend when you were the head coach here, how you guys used to defend Hail Marys. Did you have wide receivers actually on the field? Are you a believer in that spot? Like, should Keenan Allen and Roma Dunze and whoever been out there, or are you an anti-wide receivers on Hail Mary defense?
I'm not anti that at all. I just never really had a guy to put back there. Pierre, Deshaun, I don't think Deshaun would have been a big help at all. Jordan Reed, we thought about putting back there, you know, because he's a big guy. He's an unbelievable athlete. But we just stuck with the guys we had back there on defense. And it worked out. Just try to get a body on a body, have one jumper, and make sure somebody's deeper than the deepest.
Yeah, no doubt. Jay Gruden with us, brought to you by the Ted Britt Automotive Group, as he is each and every Monday at 3 o'clock right here on the Team 980. All right, so moving beyond that play, I did want to ask you this. Fourth and one from your own 12, and it was fourth and really inches. I don't know if you got a good glimpse of how close it actually was, but let's just call it fourth and one, even though it was probably shorter than that. In a 12-7 at that point game, Jay, with 4.5 minutes left to go, would you have gone for it if you were Dan Quinn?
No.
Well, okay, so that was my answer, an immediate no, but you tell me why.
Well, the defense is playing good. I mean, the defense is playing good. Caleb really didn't do anything all day. I know they just scored a touchdown with Swift on a run. We just lost contain a little bit. But it's your own 12. I mean, people got to understand, getting a yard is not that easy in the NFL. I mean, these guys are big up front on the defensive lines. And I know our offensive lines are playing good, but there's a lot of reason. You still got to get a snap from center. You still got to get the yard. Jaden's got a bad rib. You know, you run inside zone. You can do quarterback sneak. You can do the tush push. I don't think we have the tush push in here. So it's easier said than done to get a half a yard. I know it sounds like it's an easy task, but it's really not that easy. A lot of things can go wrong, and then the total momentum swing would be in the Bears' favor and could really crush you. Make them earn it. Punt it, let Trustway bomb it, and then make them earn the 60-70 yards they got to drive.
Right, and people got after me, just so you know, not that that is important, because, you know, then the Bears obviously go right down the field and they finish it off with the Roschon Johnson, you know, touchdown. But they had to put together, you know, a drive, Jay, that starts at the, where is it, at the 38, right? You know, and I understand that's good field position, but if you give the... See, everybody thinks of the plus side, right? All the analytics and all that stuff and all the fancy numbers. And sure, it's great if it works. And I know they've been really good on fourth down this year. They've been perfect. I got it all. But something was going on with Brian Robinson. They weren't using him a whole lot in the second half, and number one. And here's what I keep coming back to is, yes, I understand the upside. I got it. I understand that. But the downside is so great because of the position. Like, if that was at your own 35 or own 40, I think it's a different call, even though I'm not sure I would have gone for it still at that point. But it's at your 12. It's at your 12.
12, yeah. And then there's still 4.5 minutes to go. So if you punt them and they go down a score, you'll still have time to get a field goal and win the game. But I just think the way the defense is playing – they're getting good enough pressure on Caleb. I just think that make him go 68, 70 yards for a touchdown. Unfortunately, they did that, but it wasn't easy for him by any stretch.
Yeah, no, I agree. Jay Gruden with us, brought to you by the Ted Britt Automotive Group here on the Team 980 and the BetQL guest hotline, as he is each and every Monday. All right, overall, what did you think of Jaden Daniels? Because we saw a designed run early on a read option for 9, so like there appeared to be no limitations. He did take a couple of hard licks, one from Montez, one on the previous third down incompletion on the previous series. I'm trying to think. That was right. I guess that was. I don't remember exactly when that was, but it was an incomplete on third down, and he got up grabbing his ribs. What did you think overall?
I think he played good. I really do. I think he had a couple drops there. Missed a couple throws that he probably would normally make. He probably rushed a few because, you know, he's a little gun shy a little bit with the ribs, but I think he played great. I mean, he had a couple of good scrambles for first downs that people don't forget too. I mean, he had one there backed up and third and 7, and the guy had him dead to rights. He just juked him like he wasn't even there. It's embarrassing how he just, it's unbelievable how he just gets away from these defenders like they're not even, they're like little kids. I mean, it's crazy. So yeah, I think he played good. I think he's effective. And you know, I think the run game, like you said with Brian, wasn't quite as effective as it typically is. They weren't getting the big gashes. But that's the way Chicago plays. They play pretty good stingy run defense, and they don't give up big plays. And Chicago's a team where you have to be patient. And I think Jaden was. He did what he was supposed to do. Didn't turn the ball over again. Kept the team in position to win.
How much did you hate on a scale of 1 to 10 the give to the backup offensive lineman as the up back for the Bears that wound up in a fumble?
That's what you call worst case scenario. It all looks good in practice, and it sounds fun. Let's get our lineman a touchdown. But when that happens, it's hard to recover from something like that. So that's the risk-reward premises. The risk is not worth it, in my opinion, when you're giving it to a guard.
Yeah, I know how much you love guards. I know how much you love guards, almost as much as Samaje Perine, man.
They had another one, 4th-and-1, their game winner, and they gave it to a running back, and lo and behold, the guy scored. How about that?
Yeah. You know, I mean, earlier this year, I think there was the Cincinnati Monday Nighter, right? You had Trent Scott, the backup, and maybe the starting left tackle, which is scary, offensive tackle, catch a little pop pass, right? I'd much rather run that than run what the Bears did. If you're going to run a trick play with a backup offensive lineman, run that. So this way, if he doesn't catch it, ideally, I mean, I guess it could, you know, bounce off of him and be an interception, but almost surely if he doesn't catch it, it goes into the ground.
Yes, that's for sure. That happens a lot. We threw one to Warren Sapp when I was in Tampa. Mm-hmm. My brother, we tried a couple at a Trent. We never really got him off. But, those plays aren't that risky. Those are, I mean, if you catch it, great. If not, it's incomplete.
But right.
Handing the ball off where they got to be a ball carrier, maybe break a tackle. These guys aren't used to running the football. They don't do ball security drills in practice every day like the running backs and receivers. It's a little risky.
All right, last one on this game. What did you make of Caleb Williams? He came around he came awake. What am I trying to say? He came around late, but Jay, watching that game just from the press box, I know he was under pressure, and I got it in his face, and that's what I thought the Commanders would be able to do, and they did. But he was really, really, really erratic and missing stuff badly that was open in the first half of that game.
I agree. I think Jaden obviously has a lot better pass protection plan and players blocking for him, so it makes him look a lot better. But Jaden's playing a lot better. Caleb, he missed some throws. He doesn't anticipate throws right now. He's still holding on to the ball a little bit too long. His feet are way too happy. And sometimes it is a Lions' fault. He doesn't have clean vision. He doesn't play very tall in the pocket, which bothers me, which inhibits him from seeing downfield to the windows he needs to throw the ball in. So right now it's like a backyard football with him. If it's a scramble drill, then it works out great. If not, it's going to be a tough day for the Bears. And fortunately for them, they did get a scramble drill late in the game, which helped him get the go-ahead touchdown. But overall, 10 for 24, 130 yards. Not very impressive in my eyes.
No doubt about it. Jay Gruden with us, brought to you by the Tibbert Automotive Group. All right, spinning around the NFL, I got to ask you this one. Shane Steichen, the Colts head coach, is saying they're going to evaluate everything when asked if Anthony Richardson was going to start Sunday Night Football against Minnesota this week. And of course, the reason why I ask is not only because Anthony Richardson has stunk, but because he tapped his helmet after a scramble and asked out of a game. If your starting quarterback did that, Jay, your reaction would be?
It would be I've never heard of it before, especially as a third down coming up. You know, it was going to be a tough third down to get. It was third and 20 at the 20 or third and 15 at the 15. And the scramble before the play wasn't even that big of a scramble. It was, he shook a guy off and he ran for about a 5-yard gain. It wasn't like he ran 70 yards down a field. And, it's just really unique. He's struggling right now. He does show flashes being a really, really good player. He's big and strong, and he did make some throws in that game yesterday that, wow, man, this guy can do it. But he's just way too inconsistent with his ball placement, throwing the football. He's late. He misses easy throws. And you just can't have that in the NFL, especially with all these teams that are pretty closely matched right now. There's a couple teams that are way better than most teams, but everybody else is really on the same page as far as talent goes. And when you start missing easy completions that often, you're going to put your team in a tough situation. Unfortunately, they're 4-4 and they still have a chance, but he's not playing good enough.
Right. So, it sounds like at least Steichen is certainly leaving the possibility open for Flacco. Without knowing everything, if you had to make that decision right now, just, off the cuff, I would go with Flacco, give you a chance against a big-time blitzing defense that's now desperate for a win after two losses in a row for the Vikings.
I would agree with you because it's 4-4. The season's not getting any longer. You got 9 games left, and this is a time where you got to make a move. This mid-season move is a couple teams are going to make mid-season moves and get themselves in playoff contention or division-winning contention. They're 2 games back of the Colts Texans already. Mm-hmm. They got to make a move, and Flacco obviously gives them the best chance to win right now. They don't want to give up on Anthony Richardson. He's got some talent. Let him learn from Flacco a little bit more, get some reps in practice, and if they struggle, they can go back to him. But I think for your team's sake, I think everybody kind of realizes Flacco's a better option for him.
Running out of time here, so a quick spin. San Francisco beats Dallas 30-24. That seems like almost an annual rite of passage right now. Dallas just cannot figure out, you know, Shanahan and the 49ers. But it seemed like Dallas was kind of sort of in control. Then San Francisco stepped on the gas pedal, and then Dallas came back, and then, what do you make of the Cowboys at this point at 3-4?
Well, the Cowboys are just not good enough on defense, personnel-wise. They got too many injuries, and the people they've drafted in years past just aren't good enough to stop the run, and they're just getting gutted. And you just, if you can't stop the run, you know, they give up 200 yards. They're like, hey, we only give up 200 yards. That's a lot.
Yeah, right.
So they got to figure out the run defense, and then Dak's got to quit turning the damn ball over. Yeah. Enough's enough.
Yeah, you're right. Two interceptions there, obviously 223. And that was with, Garundo, who's like their third quarter. I mean, this is not McCaffrey. And Mason got hurt in last night's game, and they're still giving up 223 yards. I'm shocked at how – I don't know. I'm shocked at how, I guess, bad that defensive plan is. Is it because Micah Parsons and DeMarcus Lawrence aren't there, and Deron Bland, or is it coaching, or what?
Those three guys are important, obviously, to the defense, but the interior is little, and the linebackers aren't very big either. And they knew that last year going in after the Packers gutted them, and they didn't really make any adjustments, any personnel adjustments. They just hired Mike Zimmer. Mike Zimmer was a hell of a coach at the Bengals. We had Geno Atkins, Carlos Dunlap, yes. Michael Johnson, Vontaze Burfict, and those bigs, Pecco. I mean, we had some monsters up there, but Dallas doesn't have those guys, and you can't just run an over defense and expect to stop these guys running the football, and that's their problem right now.
Good point. Jay Gruden with us. One last one, Jay. What the hell would you do at this point if you're the New York Jets? You lost to the Patriots, who stink. You're 2-6. You've added Hassan Reddick. You've added Davante Adams. You've got Aaron Rodgers. I mean, other than just, well, we got to play, so we take our chances. What in the world could possibly fix the Jets at this point?
A miracle. It's just really sad because they have the personnel to do it. Their offensive line play is really what's killed them. They're just no good up front. So it's not giving Aaron enough time to really get some patterns that he likes down the field. So they're relegated to a lot of quick game and stuff like that. That is, and then defensively, they give too many big plays. I mean, they give up 50 yards rushing to Drake May, I think, before he got hurt.
Yep.
There's a lot of issues there, but right now they have no other way to go. They have to stick with the plan that they have right now, and hopefully they can get on a winning streak and get right back into the wild card race, because Buffalo's running away with the division.
Yeah, no doubt. Jay, I got a million other questions for you, but you know we're out of time because we had so many going on in that crazy Washington-Chicago game. But I appreciate you always, and I will talk to you, next Monday after the Commanders and the Giants meet up at MetLife Stadium. Thank you, sir. Appreciate you.
All right, Chris. Thank you.
There you go. That is Jay Gruden on air and on the road. Jay Gruden is driven by the Ted Britt Automotive Group, Ted Britt Ford in Chantilly and Fairfax, F-150 headquarters, Ted Britt Chantilly Lincoln, Ted Britt Chevrolet and Sterling, home of Ted Britt for life. Lifetime vehicle coverage. See and shop them all at TedBritt.com. All right, back in a flash, we will also have a quick conversation with De'Ami Brown of the Washington Commanders. Stay with us. All right, once again, thanks to Jay Gruden for joining us, as he does just about every Monday at 3 o'clock, unless the Commanders play a Monday night game. By the way, there's all sorts of flexing possibilities. So they could play another Monday night game, as they did in Week 3, later on this year. Have to see. But you know, even before what happened yesterday, the networks were hot to trot for the Commanders. It's going to be even worse. So be expecting, you know, maybe even two more primetime games with still two matchups against the Cowboys and two matchups against the Eagles remaining. Those are your most likely scenarios. Let's get to De'Ami Brown. I caught up with him in the locker room. He almost had a touchdown. It was called back for an ineligible man downfield, but still part of this offense and his perspective on the game-winning play in Jaden Daniels.
With De'Ami Brown, after what is probably the most incredible win we've seen around these here parts in a long time. What did it feel like to be a part of that from a player perspective?
Oh, man, it's amazing. You know, just to have that winning, you know, streak going on. I think this place, you know, haven't been winning games in a long time. And just to actually go out there and win it, you know, it means a lot for us and the culture and the fans.
When did you, like, get an even a sense that was caught by your teammate Noah Brown? And I mean, like, how would you explain your emotions in that moment?
Oh, man, it's kind of weird because at that point, you just hoping and praying. Man, once that ball was in the air and then once it was tipped and he was the only one back there,
man,
straight sprint on the field.
Have you ever been a part of something that crazy? No, right?
Yeah. I mean, I watched it on TV, but yeah. I haven't been in that moment.
Did it match the moment?
Yeah, it definitely did.
Right? not to talk about anything bad, but I mean, obviously, you know, your impact on the game was a little bit neutralized because of that penalty. Obviously, you guys, you know, had some struggles in the red zone, but you had that one screen that would have gone, I think, inside the 5-yard line, if I'm not mistaken, that was called back. You know, just kind of talk about how the overall game flow went.
I think for us, you know, we hurt ourselves a little bit. I think at the end of the day, we can't hurt ourselves on penalties when the game counts. You know, and that point, it was early on. You know, we still had a lead, but at the end of the day, you know, those penalties can hurt in the long run. You know, we don't want those in the game. We just want to go in and focus on those little details just to help us, you know, not have those penalties.
What does this win, that throw, this moment say about your quarterback? Because he was banged up a little bit on the previous drive. I don't know if you guys saw that, noticed that, whatever.
Yeah, it just shows the integrity and grit that he has, you know, and the love that he has and the competitiveness that he has, you know, within his game. And, you know, he didn't quit. You know, he didn't put his head down. You know, he always kept that momentum going. And for a rookie quarterback like that, that's what you want.
You know, you've been here for what was year four now. I mean, there's been a lot of, you know, frustrating moments for you. You know, a lot of us in the media have been around here for almost two decades, right? So we've seen a lot of dark days here. What does this say about this particular team and this year? And I know you have a lot of work to do.
Oh, man, you know, the frustration is over. And at the end of the day, you know, we want to focus on the task that's at hand. You know, we want to take it 1 week at a time and 1 game at a time. And that's it.
Thanks, Deami. Appreciate you.
All right, that is Deami Brown. Sorry about some of the audio. As Matt has pointed out, I have a terrible habit of covering up the microphone. So that's my fault.
You move your finger.
I move my finger around because I'm trying to get through the security screen. I'm worried that it's not going to be, recording. I'm doing it on my phone, so it's my fault. I will do better. I will do better. Thanks to Deami Brown for his time. And again, he almost had a touchdown. It was called back. But it would have been, a 24-yard game on the screen. But that was Allegretti's illegal man downfield. I'm so sick of this illegal man downfield bull crap. You know, how about this? How about the NFL develop a set of onions, a set of nuts, and actually call things that matter? Like the face mask the other night in the end zone on Sam Darnold. How about that? How about instead of calling this nonsensical, constant illegal man downfield thing, which really has almost no effect? How about that? Of course not. Dumbest sports league in the world. And I know Greg Hoffman will take offense to that when I say that, because I said it sometimes in the press box a couple times yesterday. It's fine. That's his opinion. It's the dumbest sports league in the world. Just because you make bazillions of dollars does not mean you're smart. Real quickly, Noah Brown and the Chicago Clown. That's from It's King of Cubs. That's pretty good. The Landover Lob from 2K Benji. I like that. I'll put a bunch of these up a little bit later on. Double A is pointing out that Montez Sweat had a shin injury. I knew he went out. I thought he came back in, though. But plays happen so fast and so much is going on that it's impossible to track every one individual. So I thought he was back in, but maybe he was out that whole time. I'm going to have to go back and really chart that and see exactly what happened there. All right, let's get a final trending alert, and then three up, not three up, three down. That was a previous iteration. Cleanup on aisle three. Yes! There we go. We'll do that next on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, Dan Quinn is meeting with reporters as we speak. We hope to have an injury update on Cornelius Lucas, Brandon Coleman, as well as the Commanders at 6-2 off the miracle finish yesterday. Prepare to visit the New York Giants in NFC East play, second and final time. The two teams will play 1 o'clock this Sunday at MetLife Stadium. The Giants are in action tonight at the Pittsburgh Steelers and Russell Wilson. Of course, they'll be without Kayvon Thibodeau for not only tonight, but also next week. They say they're not going to be in a rush and won't have a quick hook on Daniel Jones, who's really struggled the last two games after showing some positive signs. Jordan Love's groin, apparently not that bad. He's day-to-day, has a chance to play this Sunday against the Detroit Lions after leaving yesterday's Green Bay win in Jacksonville. The Chiefs made a trade last week for wide receiver DeAndre Hopkins. Today, they've made a trade for pass rusher Josh Uche. With the New England Patriots, the Patriots apparently getting a 2026 sixth-round pick back in the deal. He was a healthy scratch yesterday, which, of course, sent notice to everybody that he was probably going to get quickly traded, and he winds up with the two-time defending Super Bowl champions. Wizards, Hawks tonight, right here, 7:15 the pregame, 7:30-ish the tip from Atlanta on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app, and that's what's trending. All right, yes, indeed, everybody. We welcome you back. Final 20 minutes or so of the radio showgram here on a Victory Motown Monday. Craig Hoffman coming up next at 4 o'clock. He'll take you home. I'll be back tomorrow at 1 o'clock with the DOC, and we'll obviously get a lot more into the nitty-gritty of the game because today has been about the final play and the headlines and your visceral reactions and all of that stuff and the moments. So good job out of you guys, but we'll have a lot more on the actual game tomorrow. We covered a couple of games with Jay Gruden, most specifically Dallas and San Francisco, Jets and New England. So for cleanup on aisle three, we're going to bounce around to a couple of the other big storylines around the NFL. I hope Matt's okay with it. Because I didn't really ask. What we may have missed, what we forgot, what we need to touch on, what we promoted that we didn't get to. And even if it's just a minute or two, a mention.
Clean up in aisle three.
Clean up on aisle three. Ah, yes, indeed. Let's start in Denver, where Broncos head coach Sean Payton, never known to be Mr. Nice Guy, was under fire as the Carolina Panthers, not head coach Dave Canales, at least on the field, were upset that Payton had the mere audacity to run not one, but two trick plays. The Broncos were up 28-7 against Bryce Young, a Panther team without Deontay Johnson, without Adam Thielen, overmatched clearly in Denver. They attempted a fake field goal on what would have been a 60-yard attempt by Will Lutz. Later in that same quarter, again, 28-7 in the fourth quarter, when they tried the fake field goal, they had Cortland Sutton, a wide receiver, complete a fourth down pass to field goal to fullback Michael Burton to keep a drive going. So J.C. Horn, after the game, who has been mentioned in trade talks but apparently is not available, came up to Payton and had a brief exchange accusing him of running up the score. Canales said the fake field goal attempt was their decision to make as the Broncos tried to clock out the game, what have you. I would say this. I had no problem. A 60-yard field goal, even in the mile-high thin, I have no idea how the wind was blowing, whatever. That, to me, is like, okay. I mean, I know 60-yarders are not as impossible as they used to be by any stretch. But I can kind of understand that. But to have, you know, a wide receiver throw a pass to a fullback in the fourth quarter of a 28-7 game against an absolutely anemic offense, that probably to me would irk me. Just saying. I mean, I understand it both ways. They're trying to finish the game. You never know in the NFL. I got it. Even Peyton said, I know, like seven times. He got, you know, I said it Sunday night. We're trying to finish the game the right way. We're not trying to run up the score on anyone. It's a National Football League. I've been in games with a 28-point lead in the fourth quarter and lost, so we're trying to finish. He said, play better. Yeah! Sean Payton with another little barb. Yeah, listen. Were they trying to run up the score? Probably not. But are they trying to make sure that they don't somehow lose a game that they have no business losing? Yes. Listen, the special teams coordinator there is Ben Kotwicka, who's a friend of the show and been a longtime friend of mine. I haven't talked to Ben about it. He's not a jerk. He's not trying to run up anything. I mean, that's a military guy. That's an Army guy who's just been a coach for a long time. He is not trying to run up the score. I can tell you that much. I can't tell you much of anything else, but I can tell you that much. All right. After last night's Dallas-San Francisco game, I know we talked about Dallas and San Francisco with Jay from a what's wrong with the Cowboys and, you know, so on and so forth perspective. Did you see what happened with television reporter, I think his name is Mike Leslie, from Dallas, and Trayvon Diggs, Stephon Diggs' brother? Well, Trayvon Diggs, who, again, had a torn ACL last year, Trayvon Diggs apparently was on his phone right after the game and took offense to something Leslie said on Twitter, which was questioning Trayvon Diggs' efforts on one of the George Kittle touchdowns, in which Trayvon Diggs was kind of seemingly not running as hard as maybe he could have, but he was enough out of the play where you certainly can't say he should have made the play, but he certainly also wasn't running. He didn't appear to be running as hard as he could have. And Diggs saw that when the reporter said, "What is Trayvon Diggs doing here?" and showed the video. And look, again, I understand the player being pissed off. Hey, man, you're calling me out saying I'm not giving effort. He did give some effort. How much? The best? That certainly is fair to question. I don't know, man. You know, like, here's what I know. Maybe that reporter could have done better. Certainly, Trayvon Diggs could have done his job better. Here's one thing that I know. You do not, under any circumstances, need players coming out of the locker room while reporters are waiting to get in the locker room and basically verbally harassing, accusing, verbal assault, whatever, to a reporter. Because there's zero way. There's zero way, except with you jock-sniffing homeboys that just think players can never do anything wrong and the coaches are all to blame for everything and us dummies in the media are evil and rotten bastards. All you jock-sniffing homeboys, you know who you are the only ones that are defending Trayvon Diggs, because there's no way. There's no way to spin it in any other way, except that's not what you do as a professional. You want to pull the guy aside in the locker room and say, "Hey, man, what's this? Like, I didn't appreciate this. I've been good to you. You know, I've given you access. I've given you time. Like, why are you selling me out like that?" I had an exchange with Josh Wilson. If you guys remember Josh Wilson, the Redskins corner, signed in 2011. He was not happy with some of the criticism I was laying down on him. He came up to me right outside the locker room one day after practice, and he was not happy. And you know who came in between and intervened? D'Angelo Hall. And he said, "Hey, man," he goes, "that guy's one of us," meaning me, because I was working for the team at that point. But I was also independent. I mean, I was not allowed to just, you know, be Peter Positive. And he had to kind of separate and push Josh Wilson back. because Josh Wilson was pissed that I was being so critical. Now, Josh and I are fine. We, you know, we bumped into each other a couple of times, you know, since then. Rocky McIntosh was also upset at me one time because I reported at the end of the 2011 season, New Year's Eve, that he broke curfew in Philadelphia, which he did. He stuffed a bunch of pillows or whatever he did in his bed, and when they came around the bed check, they busted him and found out that he broke curfew. But he was mad, not that I reported that, because that's what he did, he said. He was mad that I reported that he had been late to a meeting, because I was also told that by multiple sources. I don't know if he was or he wasn't. That's just what I was told by people that had never lied to me before and what I trusted. And clearly they were out of the Rocky McIntosh business. That was going to be his last game with the Commander, with the Redskins. But the point being is, he was mad about that part of the story, not the actual, hey man, I broke curfew. No, I did that. We're good here. Again, these things happen. They happen on bad and losing teams. And I just wanted to share those stories with you guys, because that's the kind of guy I am. Where else would I be if you weren't getting the truth from me? All right, one last one. You know, the WNBA season wrapped up, about 5 or 6 days ago, whatever. We talked about, and the Mystics fired Eric Thibault and his dad as the general manager last week, and we had gone over five, I guess it is, different WNBA coaches. Well, now the Connecticut Sun have fired their head coach. 47-year-old Stephanie White, 55-25 regular season record, 7-7 postseason record in 2 years with the team. She was the former head coach of the Indiana Fever and Vanderbilt, whatever. Nobody cares about any of that stuff. But I believe she is the sixth. I don't have it right in front of me, but I believe the sixth WNBA coach to be fired since the season ended, or since the regular season ended. That's pretty crazy, right? I mean, we see that stuff, you know, obviously in every other sport, so maybe it's not so crazy, but kind of interesting to see the stakes as the eyeballs have gone up, the stakes that are him. All right, that does it for cleanup on aisle three.
Cleanup in aisle three.
Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, we have one last thing to do. Yes, dum-dum of the day. And, it's a good one. You guys know I'm a big hockey fan. Who doesn't like a good Zamboni ride? Well, Matty found one that'll make you chuckle just a wee little bit next on the Team 980.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
But you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
All right, wrapping up things here on a Victory Motown Monday. Craig Hoffman coming up in less than 10 minutes. Try to actually get out on time today. Why don't we? Right? Don't forget Wizards and Hawks, 7:15 tonight right here on the Team 980 and on the Odyssey app. As well, Monday Night Football over on The Fan starting at 7:30. Preview of the next two opponents for the Commanders. Giants first up this Sunday. They are at Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh here 13 days from right now. All right, let's get to it. Dum-dum of the day, baby.
It's time for Dum-dum of the day.
I love me some hockey. The only thing that this really has to do with hockey is it happened in between two hockey games in Quebec, Canada, last week. A Zamboni driver was reportedly arrested and charged with DUI after they crashed the Zamboni they were operating to clean the ice into the boards. Think about it. Tom Wilson wasn't even around. Alex Ovechkin wasn't around. And this guy decided, hey, somebody's got to go into the boards. So the Zamboni driver went down. This is with fans in the stands. It's all caught on video. The Zamboni was heading parallel into the boards before crashing into the other side, causing damage to one of the doors. And of course, again, we don't laugh at anything with DUI. But the bottom line is, the driver was dressed as a kangaroo and had a hood over his head as he started to clean the ice. So not only was he drunk, and I should say driving under the influence, but he was so affected, or maybe trying to be so cute, that he put a kangaroo costume on and he put it over his head and he drove into the boards. The National Post reports several people witnessed the event. One of them called police after seeing signs that the driver was impaired. Police administered a sobriety test and the driver was arrested for DUI. Again, nobody is making fun of DUIs, but it is semi-humorous that a dude was in a kangaroo outfit and trying to work at a hockey game, and, well, that didn't go very well.
Congratulations, you're Chris's dum-dum of the day.
Yeah. I mean, again, I'm not trying to be insensitive by any stretch. You know, I take that very seriously, or as seriously as I can.
I would say that's the wildest DUI that's ever been given. Not too many Zamboni DUIs are handed out on a daily basis.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't seen that one. I have not seen that one. Real quickly, as far as any kind of injury news, we don't have any that I could see from any of the reporters, for whatever reason, unless I'm missing it, that were with Dan Quinn. So we're going to have to wait. I'm sure Craig will have an update for you on if Dan Quinn said anything about Cornelius Lucas and or Brandon Coleman. And, of course, everything in between. Don't forget, Kayvon Thibodeau on IR. That helps a lot as the Commanders get ready for the Giants and try and go to 7-2. Thanks, everybody, for being a part of the show. Sorry to everybody we couldn't get to. Just too many things to do, too many phone calls. Call back tomorrow. DOC will be with us. We'll get more into the game itself. Thanks to Matty Ice, Craig Hoffman coming up next. Enjoy the rest of your Monday. Be safe.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.